Okay, there we go. It worked. This year, we are continuing on in our study of biblical womanhood, talking about what it looks like to be God's women, right? Biblical women that yield our lives to God and God's ways. So tonight, our topic is being a woman of wisdom. And honestly, our whole year has been being about a woman of wisdom. You'll understand when we read the definition of wisdom. So this is on your sheet too. Wisdom is understanding life from God's perspective and then discerning and applying God's truth and principles to life situations. Or a short definition would just be skillful, godly living. So wisdom is being skillful, godly living. The whole of the Bible contains the wisdom of God, but the book of Proverbs is a collection of shorter, memorable wisdom literature. And I would just encourage you, if you haven't read Proverbs, just read a chapter a day for the next month, and you will be like, wow, I am growing in wisdom just reading this book and applying it. Our pastors did a series called Get Wisdom a number of years back that was excellent. Julie remembers. I know you go back and listen to sermons. If you haven't heard that, go back and listen. Listen along with that, or if you've already heard it, I would encourage you to go back and listen again. So wisdom is not just information or knowledge. It's the proper application of knowledge. James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." So wisdom is this application, the proper application of knowledge that leads to skillful living. I'll give you an example of wisdom versus knowledge. So say you're in a plane crash in the Arctic, right? Very unfortunate. But fortunately, you crash with a book that's all about how to survive in the Arctic, okay? Things like how to build a fire or find food or stay safe and warm, right? Well, when they finally come to rescue you, if you only possess knowledge, you will be found dead with the book frozen in your hands, having memorized every single word, but never having applied that knowledge about survival. If you are wise, you will be found alive, having read the whole book and then killed some animals for food and for warmth, and you built a fire and a shelter, right? That is wisdom versus knowledge. Wisdom is taking this knowledge and applying it rightly to your life. But biblical wisdom is more than just the proper application of knowledge. Our world would claim to have a wisdom, but their perspective is often quite different because biblical wisdom must be done with God and God's perspective, as our definition says. So let's pray. We'll talk more about wisdom, where and how to get it. God, thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for a chance just to look at you, to worship you, and sing to you together. We just lift up this night to you, Lord. We just pray you'd open our ears to hear and our hearts to understand and just help us to grow in wisdom tonight, God, just through this conversation and teaching and just in our discussion groups, God, that you would really help us to apply what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, I have a story, another story for you guys. It was an exciting day for the young naval ensign and his amazing voyage on that ship across the sea. He was about to demonstrate his own ability in controlling the ship outside of the channel, out in the open seas, and back to the United States. And he shouted out orders at breakneck speed. The decks were buzzing with men performing the orders that the young ensign had given. And soon the ship had turned around and was outside of the bay and outside of the channel and cruising out to the open sea. He had set a record for getting a destroyer going that quickly. A young officer came up to him with a message from the captain, which he had expected. After all, he had done such a good job getting quickly out to sea. He was a little surprised to find it was a radio message from the captain that read, "My personal congratulations. You have completed the exercise according to the book and at amazing speed. In your haste, however, you overlooked one of the unwritten rules. Make sure the captain is aboard before getting underway." And I think that's how a lot of people live their lives. They can have all the procedures of life down, but they forget to ask the captain aboard. They forget to ask God to come be in control. And I think even as Christians, God can be left out of the picture so often. The first thing to understand about wisdom is that it is from God and it honors God for his rightful place in our lives. Proverbs says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." This is a verse I've discussed on a number of occasions with my children because it's so easy for us to confuse education with wisdom. There is a huge emphasis in our country, as you guys know, on education. And my children have some excellent teachers who have much knowledge in a lot of areas, some more than my husband and I. And we are thankful for them passing on their knowledge. But the vast majority of their teachers would say there is no God. They are intelligent fools. Education without godly wisdom provides no basis for life, no ability to face death, no understanding of why the world is the way it is. We are more educated in our country than we've ever been, and yet we've not been able to escape issues like coveting, partiality, murder, suicide, addiction. It's because we lack wisdom from God. I started subbing in the school system this year, and I've loved the job and being with the kids. And one day, in an early grade school task, the teacher had me sing this song with the children. It's called the Affirmation Song. Snoop Dogg sings it. He says, I'll read it to you. Affirmations are positive statements that help bust a challenge and overcome. When you're not feeling good and have negative thoughts, repeat after me, come on, everyone. I deserve to feel good. Anything is possible. I believe in myself. I can control my own happiness. Now, it violated my conscience, honestly, to sing the song with the children, because these little first graders are being educated in the existential philosophy that we, with our own thoughts and ideas and our own minds, are each responsible for creating our own purpose and our own meaning in our life. These ideas, I deserve to feel good. I believe in myself. I control my own happiness. They are not from God. That does not honor God as the one who gives us purpose and meaning in our lives. Proverbs 28:26 says, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. And it's not just first graders who are taught wrong ideas, right? It's very popular in our culture, you all know, to say, there's many ways to heaven. We are all on the same path. You just do what works for you, right? You've all heard that. That's foolishness. That leads to eternal death. Because Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We need wisdom from God. And here's where it starts. Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Psalm 110, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Job 28, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding. In contrast to the fool saying there is no God, wisdom is found in the fear of the Lord. Fear is this breathtaking awe of God that's supernatural and involves many aspects of our relationship with God. It's a belief in his existence, but more than that, it's love for God. It's a knowledge of God. It's trusting in God. And this fear motivates us to keep God's commandments for our good. Charles Bridges says, the fear of the Lord is the affectionate reverence by which the child of God bends himself humbly and carefully to his Father's law. Do you guys remember the first teaching of the year? I mean, I gave it so I remember it, but it won't bother me if you don't remember it. But it was about having a yielded heart to the Lord, a heart of submission to God and God's ways. Well, this would say that's wisdom. To have a submissive heart, to live in obedience to God, we must fear the Lord, and that's the beginning of wisdom. Now, you guys know we're not born with this breathtaking awe of God, quite the opposite. And we typically don't wake up with a breathtaking awe of God each day, right? So we have to refresh ourselves daily as Christians with this awe of who God is and who we are. Because our culture wants us to be in awe of ourselves, right? My daughter and I were at the library recently, and I picked up a book that caught my eye. It's called What If You Are the Answer by Rachel Hollis. She's a very popular author and speaker. She would claim to be a Christian and talks about her faith, but here's what she says about her own book. She says, what if you are the answer is all about tapping into your inner wisdom and intuition. You have the answers. Who's coming to save you? You are. Who's going to fix your life? You are. Each chapter begins with a powerful question, something somebody asked me or that I read that forced me to make real changes in my life. My hope is that these questions inspire you to unpack your own truth and spark meaningful changes along the way. This is kind of like the adult version of that first grade song, I Believe in Myself, right? That's pretty much what she's teaching. She claims to be a Christian, and she speaks to Christian women across the country. But in this book, she openly denies the gospel, the holiness of God, and our need for salvation. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. This is foolishness. This is leading women astray. Here's what Isaiah says about tapping into your inner wisdom. He says in chapter 5, verse 21, "Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes." Wisdom begins not by looking at ourselves, but by looking at God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, we don't start our lives with the fear of the Lord, right? But we must be brought to this. Through the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, we come to believe that God has made us for himself. But we forfeited that because of our sin. When our eyes are open to God's incredible love for us in our sinful rebellion, there's an awe of who God is and what he's done for this, for us. Brian reminded us of that this weekend, right? I left church yesterday having been fully refreshed in the fear of the Lord. And I want you to understand that the pursuit of biblical wisdom leads us to the embodiment of wisdom, which Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 24, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "To those who are called Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." So when we're thinking about biblical wisdom, we're ultimately thinking about Christ. Colossians says the same thing, chapter 2, verse 3. "In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Many of you know Christ is your Savior. You fear God. You are wise women, and you're here because you want to grow in wisdom. But some of you may look at your life and go, I am not sure I do fear God. You might feel like you lack wisdom. You feel like you're flailing in life. You know you don't have a personal relationship with the embodiment of wisdom, Jesus himself. You've never acknowledged your sin and your need for Christ. May today be the day you stop trying to do things on your own and invite the captain aboard, right? And maybe you're a Christian and the captain is aboard, right? You know Christ as your Savior, but he's not at the helm in some area of your life. You're looking for answers from people like Rachel Hollis who say, you can fix your own problems in your own power and strength. It's time to get some biblical wisdom and let the captain steer the ship. So what can we do? So wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, but where do we get it and how do we get it? So where, on your outline, Psalm 119, this is first way under where. The word of God. The unfolding of your word gives light and imparts understanding to the simple. Wisdom is found in the word of God. And Ashley taught us about this in October. She taught us to prize it highly, to treasure it, not to just check off a box when we read it, but to obey it. I encourage you, go back, listen to the wisdom of that teaching. What if I told you that the expert on marriage or parenting or money or sex or communication was going to be at the Rock Church this weekend? Would you guys want to come? Well, the word of God. You have the expert in every single one of these subjects in the Word of God, and yet we find ourselves struggling in so many situations, leaving our Bible on the shelf and listening to a random podcaster or a popular author or the latest psychological research, right? We have the well of living water, women, the creator of all things, the hope of the world to hear from. Do you treasure his word, or is it pushed out by so many other voices? And do you obey it? We all make good plans, but obedience is the fear of the Lord, which leads to wisdom. James says, "Do not merely listen to the words and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." That's the person in the Arctic with the book frozen in their hands, right? Then he says, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." This passage is convicting to me. It contrasts wisdom and foolishness. I can read my Bible. I can hear a great teaching from our pastors or ladies' night, and I feel challenged or encouraged and convicted. But do I hear it and apply God's truth and principles to my actual life situations? May we read and listen with a heart to obey. I would encourage you, always write down. When you read your Bible, write down an application for yourself for that day. Pray through that application for the day. If you hear a teaching, write down an application from the teaching and pray through that. And then don't just make a plan. Anybody can make a plan. Wisdom is carrying out that plan. We don't want to be the woman dead in the Arctic, right, with the book frozen to our hands. We want to be the wise woman that's found alive and well by doing what God says. And do you know what the mark of wisdom is? It's spiritual growth. Look at your life. Are you growing? Do you think and act differently than you did a month ago, a year ago, 5 years ago? Wise women will grow. All right, the second place we find wisdom. Number two, walking with the wise. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. We find wisdom by walking with the wise. November, we had that excellent discipleship panel, a testimony of wise women who have walked with wise women and became wiser. If you didn't listen, go back and listen. There was lots of good encouragement and challenges on the panel. What was your application from that conversation if you heard it? And if you had one, did you put it into practice? Remember, the mark of wisdom is spiritual growth. I've heard from many of you about the small groups you've done, the things that you've been learning and growing in. That is one of the most encouraging things for me to hear. My husband and I have witnessed spiritual growth ourselves in people in our church, in our small group, in our children's lives. Josh and I love talking about the way that we see people growing in the Lord when they've invested in these relationships with godly men and women. It's glory to God when we walk with the wise and become wise. But be aware that 20 minutes in the Word a day, or an hour and a half at small group, an hour and a half at church, still is a lot of time for the input of fools, right? Jen talked about this in her purity teaching. Being wise about what comes in, right? What are we watching, listening to, reading, or thinking about? Often we can be our own biggest fool, right? By what we're repeating in our head. Our tendency is not to fear the Lord and walk in wisdom, so we have to guard our hearts and our minds and our time. Who are we spending time with? Who are we letting our children spend time with and be influenced by? A companion of fools will suffer harm, like that verse says. Who are your companions in the musical world, the TV world, the podcast world, the social media world? They are preaching their values at you. May we be women who walk with the wise, not just in small group or church or youth group, but every area of our lives, by who we watch, what we listen to, what we think about, who we spend time with. And God will grow us spiritually as we walk with the wise. So a warning I want to give to you guys. Mary did an excellent job with Andrea demonstrating the wisdom of how to walk in right relationship with one another last month. And she talked about times when we're offended, when we see sin in other people's lives or in their kids, or we have sin in our own lives, all the situations. When we encounter those, if those are not handled biblically, that can cause us to pull away from walking with the wise. So have you told someone yet? Your number's up. Have you dealt with that thing that's stuck in your heart that you know you need to have a conversation with someone about? Or has someone made an effort to have a conversation with you about something in your life or in one of your kids' lives? Did you receive that humbly? We all know we're not the perfect friend or the perfect Christian. We know we don't have the perfect kids. We definitely have many areas to grow in. And I have grown as I have received feedback from people, from wise men and women speaking into my life. Don't die with the book frozen to your hands, women. Wisdom would tell us to put into practice having those hard conversations with one another and learning from the conversations that people have with us so that we can keep a pure heart in our relationships with our sisters and continue to desire to walk with the wise. And I would say, let's not just wait to have those conversations until we need correction, right? Wise women seek out counsel. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise woman listens to advice." Wisdom does not act impulsively or move ahead in life haphazardly, just reacting to things. Wisdom ponders the path of her feet. I encourage you, especially if you're struggling, if you're in a place where you have a big decision to make, don't just move ahead without consideration. Stop, wait, pray. Look for wisdom in God's word. Get counsel and then make a decision, make a plan, and then move forward in faith. Grace taught on getting counsel last year at Ladies' Night. If you haven't listened to that, I would encourage you, go back and listen to it. A wise woman not only walks with the wise, but she asks the wise for thoughts on her life. All right, so we understand where to get wisdom, the word of God and walking with the wise, but how do we get wisdom? Now, first thing is we want to cultivate a desire for wisdom. These verses are on your handout too. Proverbs 4. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. So what separates those who grow in wisdom and those who don't is desire. The world would say it's age and life and experience that bring wisdom, but I love this quote from Charles Spurgeon. He said, I have 70-year-old children in my church and spiritual fathers who are comparatively very young. The word of God would say desire is the primary fuel for spiritual growth. We will pursue what we desire. So how do we grow this desire for wisdom? Two ways to increase your desire I already talked about. Pursue God through his word and pursue walking with the wise. Many of you know this if you have children, but you don't create an appetite for a certain food in a child's life by having them avoid it, right? But by having them eat it. They might not feel like eating their peas, but eating peas will help them acquire an appetite and taste for peas. So it is with God's word and fellowship with other believers. If you don't feel like reading your Bible or hanging out with Christians, I would never encourage you to avoid it until you feel like it. I would say create an appetite for it by doing it. 1 Peter 2 says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. There is a connection between experiencing God's goodness and hungering for God. Think of your favorite food. Chocolate cake for me. Lasagna maybe. Cheesecake for you. Pizza. When you take that first bite and the flavor hits your taste buds, you crave more, right? In the same way, when we taste God's goodness, when his grace and kindness and love penetrate our hard hearts, either through his word or in experiencing him through other believers, we will crave more of it. So to increase your appetite for wisdom, don't focus on yourself and how you feel. Take your eyes off yourself. Focus on pursuing God through his word and in fellowship with his people. Pursue what you want to desire, and God will increase your appetite and desire for those things. So another way to increase your desire for wisdom is to put yourself in spiritually challenging situations. My own desire for wisdom in my life is often born out of necessity, honestly. I remember in high school and college, many of my friends had difficulties or struggles that I had never faced before, and so they'd come to me for help, and I could have just been like, hey, I'm young, I don't know, I've never been through that, I can't really help you. Or I could look to God and his word and seek the counsel of others. These verses were very encouraging to me when I was young and I felt like I was lacking in wisdom. Psalm 19, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Testimony is another name for the word of God. Your commands, another name for the word of God, are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. And then Job, it is not the old who are wise, nor the aged who understand what is right. It is the spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty, that makes him understand. Wisdom is from God. And as a young woman, I sought his wisdom to help me in those challenging situations. And then I got married. And if you've been married, you know you need lots of wisdom from God, right? I read the word all about marriage. I memorized it. I asked God, please help me to obey this. I talked to people about marriage. I read books. My husband and I went to conferences. I worked on everything, and God helped me learn. And then I had a baby and another baby and another baby, and boy, did I need wisdom more than ever in my life. When we experience difficult things or struggle spiritually in our lives, we should never be content just to sit there. We need to desire God's wisdom to help us navigate those difficulties well. In the new job I'm working, I'm always asking for wisdom from God to navigate what I encounter with the kids because it's been personally very challenging for me. So if you want to grow in wisdom, I encourage you, put yourself in situations where you'll be challenged spiritually. Don't get comfortable where you are. You won't feel as much of a desire to pursue wisdom. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Challenge yourself spiritually, and you will hunger and thirst for the Lord's wisdom. Okay, fourth way, final way to cultivate a desire for wisdom is to humbly recognize sin and repent. Repentance is the act of facing our sin, confessing it, and turning from it. John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus, his responsibility was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord with a baptism of repentance. May we too create an appetite for the Lord each day by coming to God in humble repentance. Repentance reminds us of our deep need for Jesus. It keeps us honest about our heart's true condition, our anemic desire for God, and our deep attachment to our sin. Repentance creates a deeper thirst for God because we realize how desperately we need him. God uses repentance to empty of us of our desire to please ourselves so that he can fill us with a hunger for him. So to grow your desire for the Lord and his wisdom, I encourage you, don't make excuses for yourself or lightly brush away sin. Honestly, daily, face it. Confess it as a rebellion against a holy God. Make it a habit to regularly repent to the Lord and to those that you sin against. Turn from your ways and rejoice that we have a righteous Savior to cleanse us, and God will give you a greater hunger for him. May we grow in wisdom by cultivating a desire for wisdom in those four ways. Okay, how else can we get wisdom? This is on your handout number two, ask for wisdom. So the word says we should ask. We want to be spiritual sponges, right? Desiring wisdom and then asking for wisdom. You guys know who the wisest man that's ever lived was? Solomon, that's right. I'll read you from 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon's the one who wrote Proverbs. It says in chapter 3, and now, this is Solomon talking. O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am but a little child. Now he's not a child, he's an adult, but that's how he feels because of this big responsibility. I do not know how to come in or go out, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. This is a spiritually challenging situation for him, right? So what does he do? He says, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? And then God responds. He says, behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall rise after you. Solomon was in that challenging spiritual situation. He was very humbled, and he cried out for wisdom from God, and the Lord granted his request. We too should cry out for wisdom. The New Testament says this in James. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. It should be a daily prayer of ours to ask God for wisdom in all that he has for us, and God will answer that prayer of faith. Proverbs chapter 2 says, the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, for wisdom will come into your heart. I love that verse. God has a storehouse of wisdom for you. Ask for it. I will tell you this. This has been one of the most encouraging answers to prayer in my life. Remember the mark of wisdom, spiritual growth? There are ways that I think and speak and act that are much different than when I was younger in my faith. I have seen God grow me in wisdom, in my marriage, in my parenting, in my friendships, in my home life, in so many areas of my life. I still have much to grow in, but God is answering this prayer in my life. I encourage you, ask in faith yourself for the wisdom of God. Now, it might not be answered overnight, right? We want those quick fixes. Wisdom like now in this minute, right? Might take some time to acquire it, so we need to be patient. But call out for wisdom. I encourage you, be a spiritual sponge. Okay, so we should desire it, ask for it. And the third way is by living in light of eternity. Psalm 90, I love this verse. Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Someday this life will be over, and you and I will be standing before the King of Kings. Many of us have people we love that are already with our Savior in heaven. That is our eternal home. Wisdom would teach us to live not just for the pleasures of today, but for that day when we stand before our King. I put this verse up in my house when my kids were little, and I was homeschooling. It was a very challenging season of my life, lots of responsibilities, so many needs that I was meeting. And it was easy for me to go weary and get discouraged or not use my time well or be faithful with the responsibilities that God has given me. But this truth reminded me that my days are numbered. I think often in my life that today could be the last day that I get to love my husband and serve my children, to care for my church, to love my neighbors, and lay down my life for my King. And pondering that truth motivates me to live gladly in the fear of the Lord, knowing that soon I will stand before my King. Our culture tells us, live for the moment, for temporary pleasure, for all the fun and enjoyment you can gain by indulging your flesh in pretty much every area that you might feel like. We were in Moab this past week for my kids' spring break, and on the billboard advertising skydiving, there was a sign that says, live like there's no tomorrow. May we not be women who live for such temporary pleasures. There may not be a tomorrow for us, honestly, on this earth. In wisdom, know that your days are numbered. Understand life from God's perspective. Life is a vapor. Discern and apply God's truth and principles to your life today. Ephesians says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So what area of our lives do we need to apply this eternal perspective to? I took the list I'm going to give you guys from a book. It's called A Woman's High Calling. Jen used this too for her teaching. It's by Elizabeth George, but she discusses a number of areas where we need to live in light of eternity. I'm just going to run through them and ask you guys some questions. Our spiritual life, some things to think about. Am I loving God first and foremost each day, treasuring him and his ways? Or am I indifferent towards my sin, reading and watching and listening to things that will hinder my spiritual growth and my desire for the Lord? What about family life? Am I sacrificially loving and serving my husband and my children? For you teens, are you doing the same for your parents and your siblings? Moms, are you busy training your children? Grandmothers, your grandchildren, are you training them in the fear of the Lord? Remember, they don't teach wisdom in school. That's our job as moms, right? Or are we on our phones too much, distracted or indifferent to the needs of our family, more concerned with pursuing our own personal interests for that day? What about our home life? Do we value the managing of our home and all of the work that it requires? Or are we wasting our time at home, letting things fall into disarray, or spending too much time outside our home, working, pursuing other personal pursuits, so that the management of our home is lacking and it adds stress to our entire family? What about church life? Are we investing in the lives of other believers, loving and serving them, and using our spiritual gifts to build up the body? Or are we too busy with kids' sports or personal fitness or hobbies to be faithfully and regularly committed to the people of God? What about our physical life? Are we stewarding the body that God gave us? Are we caring for it, strengthening it, nourishing it in a way that pleases the one who gave us this body to walk in all the good works that he's prepared for us? Or do we just do whatever we want with our bodies, either indulging our flesh, not working hard, sleeping and eating too much, or on the flip side, not giving our bodies the life-giving nourishment or rest that we need to sustain the life that God has for us? What about our social lives? Are we hospitable, both to our families, but also our friends, our neighbors, our church people? Are we able to daily love and engage in conversation, to see and meet needs that come up and reach out to the lost? Or are we indifferent towards these people, just spending our social time online or hanging out with fools that will lead us astray? What about our financial life? Are we prayerful? Are we self-controlled in our spending and all the decisions that we make with our money? Are we stewarding what God has given me and being generous with those in need? Or are we just impulsive in our purchases, looking to meet my desires in a way that will hurt me in the long run and dishonor what God has given me? This verse again, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time. Oh, how much time we waste when we don't number our days and have our eyes set on eternity. The Lord often brings to mind the last day, honestly, when I'm sitting there at my computer wasting time. He reminds me that the golden bowls of incense that are before the throne of God aren't filled with what I've consumed on the internet, but with the prayers of the saints. And it motivates me to repent, to pray, to make the best use of my time. May God teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, seeking the will of the Lord each and every day, every hour, every minute. Women, my prayer for you is that we would be women who are skillful at godly living, that we will faithfully look to God through his word and walk with the wise each day, that we'll desire wisdom, that we'll ask for it, that we'll live each day of our lives in light of eternity. Proverbs 3 says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Boy, we want a blessed life, don't we? We don't want to have broken relationships or be depressed or anxious or unhappy or lacking peace. But are we trying to captain our own ship through all the struggles that we face? Are we looking to the Lord? Are we looking to the world to solve our problems? Are we the woman sitting in the Arctic with the book frozen in our hands? Women, determined to make a faithful pursuit of wisdom in your life. Be doers of the word. And I encourage you, stay the course in your pursuit of wisdom. You may not see growth in a day, sometimes even a year, but as you faithfully pursue wisdom, you will see its mark as spiritual growth in your life. Proverbs 24 says, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And then Proverbs 14, the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears hers down. May we not be foolish women, going our own way, living only for today, tearing our own house down, but may we be a church of women rich with the wisdom of God. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for tonight. I thank you for each one of these women here. God, I thank you that we can know you as our Lord and Savior, the embodiment of wisdom, God, that we can have a relationship with you. God, we pray that you would grow us in the fear of you. We thank you for Brian's message, just to humbly come before you, God, and be thankful for all that you've done for us and given us. God, I pray that we would be women that search for wisdom, ask for hidden treasure in your word, and in walking with the wise, help us to be wise women who build wisdom into our own homes, our marriages, our children, our friends. God, we do confess we can have a very small desire for you and a deep attachment to our own desires and our own sin. We pray, God, you'd give us a deeper thirst for you and an understanding of how desperately we need you. God, may you empty us of our desires to please ourselves and fill us with a hunger for you. May we desire wisdom, ask for it, and live in light of eternity, God, just foregoing those temporary moments of pleasure and instead living to please you each day by the power of your Holy Spirit. And God, I just pray, like Ephesians 1 says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give these women the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, having the eyes of their heart enlightened, that they would know what is the hope that you've called us to. God, thank you so much for your love and faithfulness to us. Thank you for your wisdom. God, we know in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, so we just want to know you more. Pray, bless our conversations tonight. Help us to be women that really grow in wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.